Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
This is Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli after the Gus Bradley radio show on Thursday evening. Getting ready for the Tennessee Titans. First of two meetings this year against the division rivals. Hey, what's up, Jeff? Hang on. Jeff, you're not on the air yet.
Home
Hang
of
on.
Last year's first victory.
Okay, yeah, that's when, right. The Jags were 0-8, had the bye week.
After an 0-8 start last year, there was a very hopeless kind of feel to things, and then all of a sudden you go to Tennessee, a division opponent, and then all of a sudden you get the quadfecta by Will Blackman, one of the biggest plays in football that can possibly happen. Sack,
awesome.
Caused fumble, recovered fumble, touchdown, and a big boost in that game.
You know, remember a play earlier than that was the holding in the end zone. Cindric Marks forced a holding that got the safety that made it a two-score game, then the Titans scored again, and then
yep. –
It was a crazy game down to the wire.
Well, and it's probably not going to be the most covered National Football League game of the week.
You think so?
The Tennessee Titans have lost four in a row. The Jaguars have lost obviously all five games, and these are two teams that are you know kind of starting to build. Ken Whisenhunt and Rustin Weskel, the general manager for the Tennessee Titans, trying to build a football team there. And then, obviously, Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell building a football team here. And I think it would be interesting if you were to try to draw a comparison between each franchise and talk to some experts and say, okay, if you're going to build a franchise, do you like the direction of, you know, Team A, mm-hmm. the Jaguars, mm-hmm. or Team B, the Tennessee Titans?
Right.
It would be an interesting conversation.
And we'll, you know, like 3 years, 4 years down the road, see how successful they have been
over
time.
Time is going to tell. But, I mean, sure. if you went and you, let's say we called up Bill Polian right now.
Okay.
We said, hey, Bill, okay, you've got the Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. And I know what his answer would be. Not that he's, you know.
He's biased.
Well, even if he was not biased, I know what his answer would be. He would choose the Jaguars because.
Quarterback.
That's where you got to start.
That's right.
And the Tennessee Titans, they don't have a quarterback. You know, Jake Locker is a guy that they didn't even extend his contract. So are you building around a quarterback? No. You know, his contract's going to be up at the end of this year. Are you building around Charlie Whitehurst?
No.
Are you building around Zach Mettenberger?
Probably not, but the word's out. I mean,
never know.
It's too early still. But probably not.
Interesting
Either
conversation.
Way, yes. We'll also hear about the Tennessee Titans, Blaine Bishop. Former Pro Bowl safety, part of the Titans Radio Network, will join us on the program.
Blaine Bishop.
Yeah, Blaine Bishop.
He was one heck of a football player.
Yeah, I actually did an interview on – he has a radio show in Tennessee, Nashville. I did it earlier today. And it brought back memories. When we game planned for the Tennessee Titans, and they had a lot of good defensive players. I mean, they were good defense. But the one guy we had to identify – to find out where he was Blaine Bishop. Because he'd play in the box safety. He'd drop back into coverage. He'd be the robber. I mean, he'd be all over the place, and he was as good a football player as there was.
And he was not tall. I mean, he was a shorter stature safety.
He'd hit you, though.
I mean, he had plenty of muscles. But, you're right. I mean, you talk about a guy that was physical, way more than his size you would think would allow. Great player. Had a lot of respect for him.
That's coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so from right now. Let's talk Jags defense. Best outing of the year last week, gave up 10 points. There's going to be a shakeup this week again. I mean, McCray's going to – it sounds like he has the upper hand in staying in the lineup. I don't think they've said anything
well,
yet. It's going to be a battle all week
between
long.
The lines,
you
though.
You think so, right?
That Demetrius McCray has played well in the last 2 weeks since you know he ended up getting hurt. We're talking about Dwayne Grotz. And when Dwayne Grotz went down, the performance went up at that left corner position.
Yeah.
And then last week, Demetrius McCray played exceptionally well. And so now that you've got Grotz coming back from a concussion, You don't just put him back in the lineup when the guy that's been in his place has been performing at a very good level. You got to make him earn it. And to earn it means that he's got to, first of all, you got to have a little bit of a setback by McCray, but then you also have to have an elevated performance, you know, by Grotz. And it makes sense to me. I mean, look, is the greatest thing in the world to get a team better is competition. You know, and I know, you know, that Gus Bradley and them, they preach competition within.
But that's been principle is much older than Gus Bradley. About as far as
competition within.
I mean, when you have good players competing against each
other. No. But see, what Gus is talking about competition within.
Oh, within
the individual. Within yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for that. I mean, you know, there are certain guys that can compete within themselves. But for the ones that can't compete within themselves, give them another guy right next to them that's going to take their job or their role. And that creates a competition that can be healthy as well.
And that's my point. That's been around as long as time itself, is when you have a bunch of good football players pushing each other. I mean, it's going to make you a better football team. And Dwayne Grotz is going to be back, but Demetrius McCray has been playing better. If you look at the body of work when they've been on the field and you compare, right now McCray's playing at a little bit higher level. Not that Grotz can't get the job back. And
well,
for that matter,
the last two games that Grotz was on the field, he did not play very well.
Well, no, that's my point. But listen, there's nothing that is going to stop Dwayne Grotz from winning the job there. I mean, Alan Ball. I mean, listen, that's the great thing about this. Gus is going to play the best two corners.
He's right. That's right. That was what I wanted to ask.
It's open competition.
If that corner spot is not available because McCray's playing so well and Grotz has elevated his play, where do you put Grotz?
Unless he beats out anybody.
Special teams.
Okay.
I don't think that there will be a role. I mean, a lot of people might ask, okay, well, could he take over for Alan Ball?
Right.
No.
Or the nickel.
No, because Alan Ball, so far this year on game day, has played better than Dwayne Grotz.
That's exactly right.
Could he take over for Will Blackman at nickel? No. Will Blackman had a very good game last week as the nickelback.
But, Jeff,
and that's his experience, and I don't know how many reps that Dwayne Grotz has ever took at nickel.
The only thing I'll say is he could take those jobs, but the only way you're going to take those jobs is by elevating your play. I mean, nothing's going to be given to you, especially when you're a young player. I mean, he's only a second-year player. I mean, you got to go earn it. And so, listen, all the corner positions are open.
Every job in the National Football League
is
open. Including
so,
Peyton Manning's.
If Dwayne Grotz plays at a high enough level, well, then he'll get on the field.
Right.
And that's how Demetrius McCray's got this job. He was playing at a high level. You turn on the tape, he was the best corner for the Jaguars last Sunday. He played at that level.
And I say that about Peyton Manning. I mean, and I'm being serious, but at the same time, if some quarterback were to come
along.
So
you're saying Brock Osweiler is going to take Peyton's job?
I just want to make sure
if that's what you're saying.
But if all of a sudden.
Because if you are, we might be finding a new radio partner.
But if there was a new quarterback that was better than Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning would have to go.
Right.
No, and I'm not. There's nobody that's going to beat him out.
No, I mean, I'm saying that tongue in cheek. It's all about, listen,
jobs are always open.
The one thing about the NFL is you're going to have that position as long as you perform. And whether you're a Hall of Famer or a mid-level player, as soon as they find somebody else who can perform at a higher level than you at that job,
see ya.
You are going to be pushed aside. That's just how this league has worked forever.
What else do you guys want to see from this defense this week? What's next for this defense?
By far, number one, and it's not just
I know what he's going to say.
It's not just defense, but it's team overall.
Okay.
Turnover differential.
Yep.
Right now, this football team is -6. -6 is a team in all five games. Mm-hmm. That you can't win when you're -6. You can win if you're +6. I mean, you could have 3 wins by now, maybe. Now, and it's part of it is on you've got a young quarterback who's thrown some interceptions in the last couple games, but then also it's the lack of takeaways as a defense. Now they've gotten some, and to be exact, they have 4. 1 interception and 3 fumbles, but only 1 interception. But that doesn't quite mix, because look at their sack total on the year. What is it, 16 sacks, right?
Yeah.
So you got 16 sacks and 1 interception. That doesn't sound right, does it? 16 sacks after 5 games and 1 interception. So what's wrong there? Well, the secondary's got to play better. The pass rush still has to get better. But they've got to find a way to get the ball back into a young offense's hand. And offensively, young quarterback has to start to limit the mistakes that he's been making. And that's part of the growth process. You don't get mad at that. You understand that.
You know, we saw the secondary get better last week and play at a higher level. I think the next step is to compete for more balls when they're in the air. The coverage was much better. And now I think the next progression is, all right, we're playing better. We're less blown assignments, less mental errors. We're in the right, you know, carrying our receivers and doing all the things you need to do in zone, and then man coverage was better. Now let's take it to another level. Now we are in the right spots. We're doing the right things. Let's start competing for the football and get some of those takeaways.
Offensively, Blake Bortles checked out of, what, 7 plays last week to throw, and the Jags ended up running 15 times. And
yeah, see, I'm okay with that.
You're good with that, right?
I'm okay with that because what are you going to do? You're going to get 3.5 yards a rush. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right now, the best player, I think, on this football team is a quarterback. I'm not on the football team, on that offense. The strength of that offense is a young quarterback who's pretty good. He's not good enough to just – carry a football team on his shoulders yet, but I think he's one of the best players on that offense. Now, if all of a sudden he's checking out of plays and you have, to be politically correct, not Adrian Peterson.
That's where you're
– I was going to say that. But, I mean, if you've got
he's
a great –
a little bit more trouble today.
I saw that. But if you've got a great running back and an offensive line that's just, you know, killer, and he's checking out of 7 runs to throw the football, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, my only problem with it, you know, listen, I'm fine with him checking if that's what the play calls for. Where he's got to, and this is the progression, again, of a young quarterback. I know one time for sure, and maybe it was more than that, but watching the film, there was one time he checked, and they had the run matchups they wanted. It's the simple concept of whether you have 6 in the box or 7 in the box. If it's 7 in the box, you check the pass because they outnumber you. If it's 6 in the box, keep the run up because you should have numbers and leverage on it. And I saw that at least once. And so I'm with Jeff. Listen, I like the freedom. I like the moxie. I like the confidence he has. But at the same time, when the defense gives you something, especially when you're struggling to run and gives you some easy run looks, you gotta stay in those plays.
But here's the key thing of this whole conversation. Mm-hmm. They're letting a young quarterback do that, and
no,
he's handling it.
Yeah, it's great.
How many young quarterbacks have you guys seen to where they don't even consider – allowing him the flexibility to come to the line of scrimmage because they know he can't handle it to do that. I mean, that's the most impressive thing to me is that you're letting a young quarterback do that. He's handling it. And out of those 7 checks, okay, I think they said that there were 2 of them that probably would have liked to have seen him stay in on the run.
Yeah, I only remember one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's not pretty good. That's really good.
And they're letting him do it any time of the game, anywhere on the field, deep in their own territory, down by 1 late in the game. That's the one he threw the interception
He is.
They're letting him do it.
He is more aware than any quarterback that I've watched in person up close. You know, now I'm not saying every quarterback that's ever come through the league. I'm talking about my personal experience from my playing days all the way through watching film as a broadcaster. He is one of the most aware quarterbacks that I have seen up close.
Is this the week the run game actually gets something going? Are they going to maybe pare it down to a couple of backs this week? Or that's what Jed was talking about this week. There's 4 different running backs getting all these carries and spreading them out. Maybe they need to pare it down to a couple.
Well, Toby Gerhart did not practice today.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been healthy since the Philadelphia Eagles game because what we've been talking about with Toby Gerhart is not the guy that we watched in Minnesota having a much more authoritative running style using his size and his strength. We haven't seen that. And remember, he got hurt early in that Philadelphia Eagles game. It's got to be that. I can't imagine it being anything else with Toby Gerhart. I mean, he's not a guy that's, you know, got paid as a free agent and then came here and said,
he worked hard. No, he's a hard worker.
He's not that kind of a guy.
Sure.
He needs to get healthy. So, will he play this week? I don't know. But if not, you know, Storm Johnson. You know, he looked the best last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was decisive. He was quick. He was a little loose with the ball, which concerns me a little bit. That ball was not high and tight at times. But he gave them an explosive look in the running game, which they haven't had yet.
But then again, other side of that, what, four carries?
Well, he had four carries, but he had one of them called back for a penalty,
right.
And
it was five.
His four carries ended up for like 27 yards, well, with 6.8 yards a carry. Yeah, it could have been five carries for nearly 50.
Devil's advocate, one of them was a 20-yard gain.
Well, I'll be the other devil's advocate. They're the biggest holes of the day. I mean, he had some gaping holes.
But he found them.
He did. I'm not taking anything away from him, but listen, this is a work in progress.
Yeah, let's see a little
more. Let's see a little
bit
more before we anoint Storm Johnson as the
and I'm not anointing
the bell cow quarterback.
I think you were.
I'm not anointing him, but I'm saying is that you got to trust your eyes, okay? And what we saw last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I'm a coach, I'm saying, okay, this week coming up, okay, you had five carries last week if you counted the one that had the penalty. This week we're going to bump you up, you know, to 10 or 12. See what you got.
I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of the carries, based on Gerhardt's injury, are split between Denard Robinson and Storm Johnson.
Lagerman says there's a storm warning.
Storm brewing.
Storm brewing, too.
That, too.
All of the above. Jags fans, you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be a part of the game experience. The Social Drive, brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. When we return on Jaguars Thursday, Titans radio analyst Blaine Bishop joins us. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jaguars Women's Association presents Football 101 for Women coming up Thursday, October 16th, a week from tonight, 6:30 to 9 in the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. It's an interactive workshop designed to teach the technical side of football. Features a Q&A with players, scouts, and coaches, cocktails, appetizers, a silent auction as well. Tickets on sale, jaguars.com/2014NFL101. And the proceeds will benefit Baptist Health's Hill Breast Center.
And they have a world-famous MC for the event.
Who's that, Lauren Brooks?
I'm talking J.P. Shadrick.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun next week, and you guys will have the show on Thursday.
You're world famous?
I don't know. The world, like,
yeah, J.P.'s world famous.
Oh, just you and I are doing the show
next
week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so much better.
We're going to have a good show.
Thanks. I think I need to laugh at that. Of course, the Jags and the Titans coming up this week at LP Field in Nashville. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Let's get a preview of the Tennessee Titans. We'll go to the phone line and welcome in a radio host in Nashville on 104.5 The Zone and on Titans Radio, a four-time Pro Bowl safety for the Oilers and Titans. Blaine Bishop is with us. Blaine, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing down there?
Man, thanks for joining us, Blaine. I want to say this. Me and Tony were just talking in our previous segment how much that we enjoyed watching you play the game.
Well, I don't know about enjoyed. I had to play against
them. Well, you had to play against them, but I didn't.
You might have enjoyed it.
Love the way you played the game, though.
Yeah, and Blaine and I were talking earlier in the day. Blaine was, and all the Jaguar fans remember, was the one guy or one of the main guys as an offense, and you asked Mark Brunell that you had to – ID because one, he tell you a little bit about what to expect, what they're going to do, but two, he was all over the dang field, everywhere from the middle of the field down to a linebacker level, and found his way to the middle of the field trying to steal a couple passes every once in a while as well. So
and let me
one
add
of the great safeties of our era.
And let me add one other thing, Blaine. The thing I remember most about you is that you reminded me of Jerry Olsavsky, who used to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that Blaine, you never had wrist tape, pads, gloves, nothing on the arms.
Man, you did a great job observing, and I thank you for all the compliments. I'm sure you guys got the check in the mail that I sent you guys to make sure you guys said something nice about me. But, yeah, I was a blue-collar guy, and I played hard. I was all about energy, and you know, I wanted to live by the example. Probably didn't have all the super-duper talent like Tony and the guys, but, man, I was going to play you hard. I was going to play you every down as though it was the last one. That's kind of my philosophy. And, hey, that's all I can ask of myself, and that wasn't good enough. Too bad. That's all I could give you. That's all I could give you. And I did not wear a lot of stuff. I only wore gloves, and I hated even wearing gloves, but they'd help me catch the ball a little bit better, even though I still couldn't catch.
Blaine Bishop is with us from Titans Radio and 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Let's get to this Titans team. I mean, they won the opener. They've dropped the next four in a row, but how is everybody recovering from last week's collapse for the Titans?
Man, I think it was very somber mood, and you know, I don't think any of the players, as well as the coaches, you know, were super upset, which was surprising. I think they've come to the realization that they're really in a rebuilding mode with just new staff, new scheme on the 3-4 on the defensive side, which is always tough in getting adjustment and the right players to fit the scheme. And then offensively, Wiz coming in with his offense and not really probably having the quarterback that's a pocket passer like he wants. So with all that involved, I think they've come to the realization that you know, it's going to be a tough year, and that you know, next team up is the Jags, who even though you haven't won, we all know this is the National Football League, you can beat any given day, and that they're still a good quality team, and they ought to try to get their first win. So you know, the Titans aren't too far ahead of them with just one win.
Blaine, what is, you know, you talk about the rebuilding under Ken Whisenhunt, and both offensively and defensively running the 3-4. I mean, Jeff and I were talking about it. I don't know if the Titans have ever run a 3-4. So a whole new look. What's the identity of this team right now? I mean, what do they hang their hat on game in and game out?
Tony, that's a great question. That's something that I've brought up numerous times, and I don't think they have an identity. They don't run the football when they need to run the football, and they don't let the stats fool you. You know, they have a 5-yard average. They're still not running the football on a consistent basis. Some of that is because of they get behind and they get away from the game plan. Ultimately, they're just a team that goes out there and they kind of, I call it, you know, layman's term, grab bagging it on offense and trying to find ways to get Locker started, who started off bad a couple games, or they try to get the running game started and they get too far behind, or a fumble, a turnover, a special team debacle, undisciplined team with a lot of penalties. A guy got kicked out last week, Derek Morgan. Defensively, they can't stop the run, and they don't have any proven pass rushers besides Casey, who's a defensive tackle, who's trying to, you know, adjust to playing in a 3-4 scheme. So ultimately, they just have a whole bunch of just good players that don't really know what their role is on either side of the ball, which is always tough.
Blaine, Bernard Pollard goes on injured reserve with a torn Achilles, and then the next man up, according to the depth chart, looks to be the seventh-round pick from last year, Damian Stafford. How big of a loss is Bernard Pollard, and what kind of a player is Damian Stafford?
Well, I think the you know, Pollard loss is it's going to be tough. You know, he was a vocal leader, and he was a guy to try to, you know, guys, you know, start seeing them going down a bad path again. He was always trying to keep positive and, you know, keep the guys going and riled up. And, you know, he has the Super Bowl ring, so that brings a lot of credibility. So it's going to be tough. He brought a physicality to the game, and he backed it up. So, you know, Stafford will be an adjustment. He'll be a first-time starter. He'll be young. He's going to make mistakes. He's an aggressive, hard-hitting player, just like Pollard, just not a, you know, proven player quite yet. I think it's going to be an adjustment. They also have George Wilson, who I think will probably do a little bit of that as well, who's a veteran guy who can still play, and he plays a lot in the dime package as well as the nickel package. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust, but it'll be an evaluation time. But I hope he's patient, because he seems to be a really aggressive big hitter. And sometimes when you're young, you kind of bite up on that play action pass. It'll be interesting to see how the Jags attack him.
Blaine Bishop is with us, radio host on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and on Titans Radio as well, former Pro Bowl safety for the Oilers and Titans on Jaguars Thursday. Locker's banged up. They haven't made an official ruling on him this week, but it doesn't sound good. He hasn't practiced this week. Whitehurst has a history. He's been around a bit. Mettenberger, could he see some time? What's the status of the quarterback situation as you know it right now? If you had to pick one right now, who's going to go, and what are the differences between Locker and Whitehurst?
Well, I haven't been at any of the practices, but if I was making a guess, I'd say Charlie Whitehurst is going to be the starter. You know, as I understand it, Locker is, you know, swelling of his hand has gotten better. He threw on the side, so I don't know if, you know, he could be a guy that can practice, not practice, and then play in the game. I think Wiz has said previously, you know, if you don't practice by Thursday, you know, it's probably going to be tough to play. But, you know, quarterback situation is always a little different situation. So I'd say Whitehurst is going to start. Now, I think then they'll start preparing Mettenberger just in case he has to go out there. But, you know, a lot of the fans are, you know, clamoring for Mettenberger, who's, you know, third-string guy, LSU, we're in the South. So Naturally, a lot of people want to see him play. He played really well in the preseason, which is the preseason, not the regular season. But I think the Titans are going to wait that out, and hopefully Locker can play here. I think if they'll do a lot better, you know, in the win column, or don't put forth the effort and play some of these games close and look like there's hope, I think then here probably four or five games down the road we'll see Matt Murder.
You know, the last 2 years, Blaine, you guys have spent first-round draft picks on the offensive line, and still watching that group, it's a group that struggles a little bit. The first-round pick this year is not even playing Taylor Lewan. Warmax at the right guard, last year's first-rounder. You got another first-rounder, Michael Orr, who's a free agent. You know, spent a lot of money on Levitre, the left guard. You know, there's got to be a little bit of disappointment in Nashville just with the overall performance of that group.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And I think the leader of that group of disappointment, which I didn't really ever agree with the signing of Andy Levitre. I think they paid a little bit too much for him. So then the expectations are there. Then he was injured the initial season when they signed him with a knee issue. And then you know, they held him out of training camp, and then he was behind eight ball, and then he hurt his hip. So it's been a little injuries here and there, but he's getting costly penalties at bad times to stop drives, as you would know, Tony, that's always tough, whether it be a late hit to penalty, or a holding, false start. I can go down the list of things that he's done. So I think he's definitely disappointing. Swanky, Womack, and Orr, as you know, they've all kind of just started meshing together this year. This is their first year together. So chemistry is always key, and you got in a new system with no experienced players playing in the system. So that's always tough. You know, all linemen have to work as one accord when you're five new guys and then new system. It's always tough, but they definitely have disappointed. From my standpoint, and man, it's going to be interesting to see how this play out. And oh, by the way, Taylor Lewan is going to be starting because Michael Ruiz had surgery. It may be season ending. I'm not so sure of that, but he'll be starting. So it'll be interesting to see, what the first round pick does. Came in handy, which I didn't agree with the pick, taking a first rounder, a luxury pick with the first pick when the Titans need a lot of help at defensive end and rush passers and cornerback and a lot of other issues. So it was interesting to see that they took him, and now he's coming in handy.
Yeah, well, so no reports exactly what the injury was to Michael Roos, because I read the report that he actually hurt the knee in the first half against Cleveland, finished the game, and said didn't even really realize what had happened. Do you know what it is?
No, and it's been kind of a story that I just brought up today on air, is that we don't actually know the actual injury to him. We know Pollard tore his Achilles, but everybody's like, it's a secret on, what happened to Michael Roos. Knee.
What? Why?
So we don't know the extent of the injury, and they're saying that it's season ending. And he, even in an interview, said that it's not ACL or anything like that, but it's season ending. So it's kind of interesting how this is going to go. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more as this week plays along, but he's definitely not playing, and he had surgery.
The tight end that you guys have, love him, because I think he's probably one of the greatest free agent acquisitions that the general manager Rustin Webster has had, and that's Delanie Walker. You played the position at safety and have covered a lot of tight ends. How good is he?
That was a great signing by them, because at the time I think he had he was only getting 15 catches a year, but he could play multiple positions, and that's what I like about most players. If you can do multiple things really well, he may not be the elite level tight end, but he can do a lot of things really good. And he has some leadership capabilities to him, where he's very vocal, and he's mentally tough, which I value a lot. When things aren't going well, let's say he drops a pass, he's like, throw me the ball again. I'm going to catch the next one. So he's one of the guys I really like and respect. He can be in the backfield, play a fullback. He can be out wide as a wide receiver. And he can be on the line playing tight end. So he can do multiple things, and I think he's probably – right now on offense, somebody they lean on as the best player that's getting production right now for the Titans.
Go ahead, hey, Blaine, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And come by and say hi if you're in the stadium on Sunday.
Will do, for sure, man. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Blaine Bishop.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, the radio host on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and on Titans Radio, former Pro Bowl safety for the Oilers. And Titans joining us on Jaguars Thursday. You can buy a single game pass for the JTA Stadium shuttle service to and from Jags games and easily avoid parking hassles. For locations, prices, and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Thanks to Blaine Bishop from Titans Radio for joining us just a moment ago. What's the banged up Titans team? You know, they've had a lot of bad luck recently, not just on the field, but in the training room, too.
He wasn't very positive about them.
No, not at all.
No, but, you know, when you talk about banged up, I mean, the biggest guy or position that's been banged up for the Titans has been Jake Locker. I mean,
Can't stay healthy.
I'm looking at it here. He's got 22 career starts, and he's now in his fourth year. You know, so, and I know in his first year they had Hasselbeck. Hasselbeck was the guy. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really in there much. But, I mean, he basically out of 5 games now, so 37 potential starts, he's only had 22, you know, and that's an issue, you know, for a guy that, you know, you were hoping to be a franchise guy. Because, I mean, he was the 8th overall pick going all the way back to 2011.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting to watch on Sunday, not just who the quarterback is, but with Taylor Lewan coming in for Michael Roos, who was their best offensive lineman. You have a rookie at left tackle. I don't think Michael Orr is playing very well at right tackle. So you have both edges that big questions. Now, Taylor Lewan might come in and be a stud, but he's getting his first start. And I think those are two positions you can take advantage of.
Chris Clemens and Andre Branch. I mean, this should be a good matchup for them.
And with Michael Orr, because Michael Orr gets pushed back. He's not very stout. He got bull rushed all day long and struggled against Cleveland. I think this offensive line is very, very average.
And see, I think they are very good at run blocking. Pass protection, I think they're below average.
Well, they haven't been able to run the
ball without Michael Roos.
Yeah, I don't know if they're great. See, I mean, I know they're averaging 5 yards a carry, but watching that tape, I mean, there were some nice runs that they had. But I thought Blaine Bishop said it best. When they had to run the ball, they couldn't move it an inch. I mean, they really struggled. And now, listen, I don't think they're very good at the running back position either. Now, Bishop Sankey, the second-round pick out of Washington, I think he's an explosive kid. He's a good player. I would give him more carries if I was Wisenhunt, because Sean Green is a plotter, and it takes him 3 days to get there. And Dexter McCluster is just a scat back type of guy.
Yeah, and he doesn't like getting north and south.
No, he doesn't like getting north and south. So I would give a bigger workload to Bishop Sankey. I don't think they're very good. I know it's 5 yards a carry. But I think a lot of those stats, especially early in the year, can be misleading. I think they're very, very average.
What has helped those stats, too, to be fair,
Jake Locker.
Is the scrambling ability of Jake Locker. Not only Jake Locker, but also Charlie Whitehurst. I mean, Charlie Whitehurst has averaged over 5 yards of carry himself. Hmm. You know, and Jake Locker, here's his numbers on the year, 18 rushes for 107 yards. I mean, he's averaging 5.9 a clip. But, I mean, the backs – Sean Green is averaging 4.3. Sankey is 4.7. So to echo what Tony's saying, I mean, 4.3, 4.7, sometimes you got to trust the numbers, right? Maybe give the rookie more. And Sankey was the first running back drafted this past year.
And he has some explosion.
Yeah, he's got some.
I mean, Sean Green doesn't. Sean Green is not going to make – I mean, he's gonna try to power you and, you know, move the pile. I mean, Bishop Sankey's a guy, he gets an open field, he can make you look bad.
And Sean Green did not practice today. He was limited yesterday with a hamstring injury, so did not practice at all today. Speaking of the injury report, Jaguars, it was a Veterans Day for a few guys, Clemens and Hayes and Roy Miller. Paul Posluszny was limited today with a knee contusion. But good news on the receiver front. Cecil Shorts III and Marquise Lee both practiced full today. So could the Jaguars –
Marquise Lee yesterday was limited?
Yes, and Cecil did not practice. He worked on the side yesterday. Marquise was limited yesterday. Both were full today. Could there – hey, they could have the full allotment of wide receivers.
Well, I think it's important that this team gets Marquise Lee going, because Marquise Lee is the most explosive receiver they have as far as speed and big play ability. He is, you know – obviously, there's the issues, some mental issues and mental breaks early in when he was playing. That's a major issue that he has to fix, because you got to be able to trust him if you're the quarterback and if you're the offensive coordinator. But as far as big play ability, with great body control, making plays downfield. He is the best threat. Where Allen Robinson is a guy who can work the inside of the field, big body. I mean, he runs well too, but he does not run as well as Marquise Lee. And they got to get – this team offensively has to get more chunk yardage and big plays. And out of the wide receiver position, I think Marquise Lee gives him the best chance of doing that, but he has to do it mentally. The mental aspect, physically, and Jeff and I saw it all through training camp and one-on-ones. I mean, when the guy is confident and has the right understanding of what the play and the concept is, I mean, he's tough to cover.
Well, because a perfect example of that is that when you go to one-on-ones, it's you in a corner.
It's just athletic.
Okay, and you know the route that you're going to run. As soon as the ball snapped, you know it.
They couldn't cover him.
Okay, they can't cover him. The issue is that when you get to game day,
yep,
when you line up, the route isn't exactly what it is when you break the huddle sometimes. You know, sometimes there's adjustments based on coverage. Sometimes the play is checked. You know, so there's more to it than just a one-on-one drill for Marquise Lee when he gets to game day. And that's the adjustment that he has to be able to speed up for this football team.
I think Gus has said it before, or somebody has said it, that he saw maybe two coverages at SC, right? And now he's seeing six or seven different kind of looks on a maybe a week-to-week basis.
And at SC, he could just line up, and it didn't matter what the coverage was and what the – he was just better than everybody. And he just used his natural ability. Well, that's not the case in the NFL.
Right.
Now, he is an amazing athlete, great body control. He's an explosive player. They need him to get going because he's the one – who gives you a deep threat ability on this team. I remember watching when we played Detroit, and there was a play. It was on the goal line, and Chad ended up going over to Cecil short side, and they had two go routes, and Marquise was on the opposite side, and he made the Detroit line's corner look like he was standing still and just ran by him. I mean, I remember watching that play. I'm like, okay, this is what this team needs. Now, to Jeff's point, is if you can't line up and you don't have the confidence of knowing what to do, you don't play fast. And so he's got to get that. And I really hope over the last 3 or 4 weeks when he's been injured, he's been dedicating himself to that aspect of the game so that when he gets out there, he can show his athletic ability out, because that's why they draft him. That's why a lot of teams, including this team, had him as a first-round grade. He slipped to him. That's why they were so excited to get him. But now that's the next step for him, and, boy, this team needs it bad.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. We'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday in just a moment on Jaguars Radio.
Okay, here we go.
You go for it.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. How about that?
That was perfect.
That's head coach Gus Bradley earlier on the Gus Bradley Radio Show. This is Jaguars Thursday.
He might take your job.
He did a way better job than you, JP.
He's got some energy.
And the reason why, it was the official.
That's right. Official.
His emphasis on that was much better than yours.
Well, it's the first time I ever read it. We'll get it better.
Yeah, you need to work on that.
We'll get better.
You need to get better, JP.
We got plenty of times we're going to read that. So
got to get better.
Be ready. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
There you go.
Go further.
Come on, JP.
How about that?
You just got me pumped up, JP.
Want to drive a Ford now.
Let's go.
Jaguars Thursday. JP Shedrick, Jeff Lockerman, Tony Vaselli. Around the National Football League, the district attorney has filed to have Adrian Peterson arrested after alleged drug use.
Let me ask you a question.
About this.
And listen, maybe this is a dumb question. Because the report is that he went to his probation officer to take the drug test, and he said, you know, I smoked a little weed. So if you're up on child abuse charges, your career is hanging in the balance, and you're on probation knowing that you're going to be tested, should you really be smoking a little weed? I mean, really? At some point, you either have a major issue that you need to get help on, or you're just not very smart.
Not very smart, I think, is the category that...
I don't know. Maybe he has an issue. Maybe he needs to go get some help for a drug issue, but Boy, oh boy. Could it be we've seen the last of Adrian Peterson ever in the NFL?
No. No, I don't think so. But, I mean, you're talking about the best running back in the National Football League.
So, Jeff, if he gets convicted of child abuse, what team's going to sign him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if that's the case, I don't know. I mean, because
just from the political pressure.
Yeah, because of the public pressure on that and the emphasis that's been on that, he may have a hard time finding a job. I mean, Ray Rice won't get a job because – his level of play is diminished.
Yeah.
Whereas Adrian Peterson, I think, is a little bit different in that.
Well, would you like to be that
a lot
owner?
Different because he's still having.
Oh, heck,
a football
would you like
player.
To be that GM answering those questions after you sign AP?
No, but there's a lot of general managers that don't care about the questions.
That's right.
Well, and you know what?
Bill Belichick would sign him in a minute.
You know the interesting thing is about week six after he has 750 yards.
Every general manager is going to be going, whoa.
Well, not only that, but every fan in the stands would have his jersey.
Well, they had Ray Rice jerseys in Baltimore after the video came out.
And did you hear some of the interviews that some of the female fans, they were defending Ray Rice.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
How do you defend that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But same way you smoke weed before you go to your probation officer.
That's a long way from being over down in Houston, it sounds like. Todd Gurley, Georgia running back, suspended indefinitely for alleged rules violation. The Georgia Bulldog, he'll be in the league next year, of course. It's just a matter of
where. Maybe not.
Maybe not now.
Oh, he will be. It's probably something with agents and money is my guess.
A source told Fox Sports the investigation into Gurley is focused on whether the star back received benefits for his likeness from memorabilia brokers.
First of all, you know what, in my opinion, they should. You know, if you're in college and you're that good and someone wants to pay you to get your autograph, what's the difference in that and going to get a summer job? I mean, well, take advantage of it. It's ridiculous. They should be able to do it. I thought Johnny Manziel should have been, and he probably didn't. He got away with it. And if Todd Gurley, that's what he got busted for. If the university is selling your jersey, and if someone wants you to sign it, they're going to give you $15 to sign it or whatever it is, take the money. I know it's against the rules, but it shouldn't be.
From an NFL perspective, though, if that's the only blip on the radar for Gurley.
No, not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
He's the best football player in college football.
Right.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, he's the best. Have you watched him?
Oh, I've watched him. But it's real early in the process.
I watched him last year.
Cooper, wide receiver.
Cooper's pretty good
now.
Cooper's pretty good. I'll put this. Easy. This is easy.
One of the best.
Best running back.
He's the best running back by far. I mean, the guy.
He's going to win the Doak Walker.
He's fat. Well, maybe not anymore.
True.
He'll be in a league that doesn't take running backs very often in the first round anymore. He'll be a first round pick.
And is he a senior?
No, he's junior.
Yeah, he's going to come out.
But he was going to come out.
Yeah, he's coming out. Yeah. I mean, come on. Okay. I would just stay.
Education, JP. It's all about the education.
Right. In Athens.
I would tell him to leave.
Battle for first place in the AFC South tonight.
Good game,
Texans-Colts. Who you got, guys?
It's going to be a fun game, and I look forward to watching it because I enjoy watching two players, one on each team. I really enjoy watching J.J. Watt. He is a pleasure to watch play the game, and I really like watching Andrew Luck. I think they're two of the best young players in the league, and I think it's going to be a fabulous game, but I think Indianapolis is going to win because they have the quarterback, and Andrew Luck is going to be able to do things and make things happen, and you can double J.J. That's the one thing. I mean, you can double J.J. He's still going to make plays. He's still going to make it difficult on you, but you can double him, and as long as you give Andrew Luck a little bit of time, I'm not sure how good that Houston defense is other than on the back half.
Yeah, a great quarterback will trump a great defensive player pretty much in most contests. Yeah. But let me also add something. When we saw the Indianapolis Colts defense here in the weeks leading up to the matchup here in Jacksonville, well, it wasn't weeks actually, it was only 2 weeks with the Washington-Philadelphia games prior to that. But the Indianapolis Colts defense has gotten better. I was actually
You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're in the lead. And when you have the lead and you have a quarterback like Andrew Luck and you play – you can play downhill
as a defense.
I mean, Jeff, you know that when you're
no doubt
when you have a lead and as a defense, you can make a team one dimensional and you can play downhill where you're coming after them. It's easier to play the game.
But you remember when we were talking about the Colts defense in the week leading up to this?
Yeah, neither of us liked it very much.
We didn't think they were very good, and we thought that the weakest point of their defense was their pass rush and the play of their down three in that 3-4 defense. We didn't think they were very good.
They're playing better.
The three down are playing way better. for the Indianapolis Colts. So big improvement by the Indianapolis Colts.
But would you not agree? I mean, when you're a defense player playing with a lead.
Oh, because it's, you know, the down and distance now is irrelevant.
Yeah, you're just going.
You're pinning your ears back and getting after it. But I'm trying to think of number 99 for the Indianapolis Colts. Really stood out.
Is France?
Ricky Jean. It's not Ricky Jean Francois, because I think Ricky Jean Francois was 92. But it was 99 was jumping out. I mean, big time.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We'll find it out.
I'll figure out his name when we play them in a few weeks.
Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida.
Much better.
For over 30 years.
That's what you're going
call
after.
Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from
I like
here.
It. Hey, Jeff, before we get off the Colts, how's Warner playing? Because I didn't watch that tape.
Same.
No good.
Yeah, he's not worthy of a first-round pick. That was a forced pick. He looks a little better.
Right.
But not.
Well, could it be worse?
Not much.
No, he's just a guy. He's a try-hard guy.
It kind of reminds me of like a Paul Kruger.
Yeah.
You know,
try-hard
nothing
guy.
Wrong with him. Try-hard guy, good, solid, dependable
just
guy.
Not a first-rounder.
Guy you like to get in a fourth, fifth round.
You know what? If you picked him in the third, fourth, or fifth round, you'd say, man, we got a good pick there.
Sure.
Number 99 for the Colts is Ricky Jean Francois.
Yeah, that's what I thought
okay.
it was.
Okay. Yeah. I was wrong.
Sixth-year man out of LSU.
Gosh.
Playing well.
I'm not very right about numbers very often.
Well, we know that.
Yeah. I was wrong. Do I need to say it again?
Hey, make sure you get this recorded.
Hit the record button. I was wrong.
Wow. Make a note. Remember, the Jags are back home in 2 weeks. The Cleveland Browns here October 19th at 1 o'clock. Jaguars.com/more or call 633-2000. A ticket to the Jags game is more than just a seat.
And not only did I make a mistake on Ricky G and Francois' number, but I said that I think he wears number 92.
That's Warner.
That's Warner's number. What am I doing?
You know what? You mentioned that Cleveland game.
Yes.
That's a good football team.
Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns are a good football team.
Joe Fortunato's suggestion that I was hanging out with Adrian Peterson lately.
Oh, well, let's not drug test you. Is there drug testing for the radio crew, Joe?
No,
I
hope not.
Wow. Well, but the Jags, we'll get to Cleveland.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Yes.
You talked about that
good
game. It's going to be a great – I mean, get your tickets. Come to that game because that's a good football team. It'll be a fun game.
They rallied big last week against the Titans. Okay, Jags this week. It's a 1 o'clock kick. We'll be on the air on the network at noon, 10 o'clock start on 1010XL with the Public's Tailgate Show this Sunday. Can they can get this done this week. Jags can get this done, right?
I predicted a win. I did that in the studio right here Tuesday with Mike Dempsey, and I'm sticking with it. The Tennessee Titans are a football team, much like Blaine Bishop said, that and Tony had suggested that they don't really have an identity. There's nothing that they hang their hat on, and I think that this is an opportunity, a great opportunity for this team here to get its first win.
I think Blake, and I know Jeff's going to pick Blake Bortles in the fantasy draft Sunday, and this is the one weekend it might work out because I think Blake's going to have a big day. I think the offensive line will play better. Second week for Austin Pasdor back. I think that's going to help. I see the running game a little better, and I think they can take advantage of the back half of this defense. I don't think they're just average. They're just okay. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think the defense shows up and builds on what they did. And I do believe that Jeff mentioned, I think turnovers start coming. These things come in bunches. And, you know, Gus talks about it all the time, how wins come in bunches, and I think turnovers come in bunches, and I think this team's due to get both.
Well, it's only if Jeff has the pick first to get Bortles. He might not have the first pick.
I don't know who was last place.
Are you last place?
No, well, probably.
Yeah, well, that's I'm not sure how good your team was last year.
Well,
mine wasn't that good either.
No, I had my other two picks were good. So I may not be in last place.
I might. Mine was bad.
Because I had Matt Forte and I believe it was Julio Jones.
Pretty good day.
I had a pretty good day with those two.
Pretty good show tonight too, guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato. Our thanks to Blaine Bishop of Titans Radio for everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. That's it for Jaguars Thursday. We'll talk to you Sunday on Jaguars Radio.